All right. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Dr. John Bowser, and I'm from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Here to talk about the Wisconsin Act Schools Project, the findings that we had from a natural setting evaluation. The term natural setting will pop up a couple times in the results that we find, and hopefully the lessons we take from it. But of course, disclaimer statement, this presentation was supported in part by a cooperative agreement with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Portions of this project's work involve the Communities Putting Prevention to Work initiative supported by CDC funding. However, the findings and conclusions of this presentation are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. With that, the learning objectives that are the focus of this presentation. One, we'll be focusing on what changes in activity and fitness levels are possible in a school-based project that are conducted and evaluated in very much a naturalized setting. Number two, this is all strategy-based, is really the mode by which we increase activity opportunities. So we're asking if certain strategies are more likely to be implemented in the school environments, and then third, are these strategies, or certain strategies, more or less likely to be maintained? So background, as everyone in this room is very well aware of, we have an obesity and a fitness crisis among children and adolescents. As it pertains to obesity, we have a high prevalence, and depending on who you talk to, it continues going up or starts leveling out, but what we can all agree on is that it's not declining as we want. For physical activity, the CDC recommends 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity per day, and we know that many students do not achieve this level. And what we also know is that as children age throughout childhood into adolescence, the percent who do not achieve this level increases pretty rapidly. A major factor that we use in promoting physical activity is the built environments, and schools provide a very clear opportunity to take advantage of utilizing the built environments. So as I mentioned in the disclaimer, this is part of the Communities Putting Prevention to Work program. The CPPW grants sought to create changes in a variety of topics, including obesity levels. This is done through changes that exist at a variety of levels, including policy systems and the environment, and then mind the school environment can work to achieve these goals. So some background about the Active Schools Project. Set in the state of Wisconsin, this is a collaborative project that existed over a two-year period, beginning in the 2009-10 school year. It's a collaboration between a variety of state agencies in the state, including the Department of Health Services and the Department of Public Instruction, who run the public schools, along with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and ultimately schools from throughout the state. We had 21 schools involved in the project. They went from elementary up through high school. And the primary goal of the Active Schools Project was to increase the accrued levels of physical activity among school children, and the secondary goal being to increase aerobic fitness levels among the same children. So the methods, as I said, is primarily strategy-based. So to implement these goals, schools were instructed, when they applied to be part of the project, to select a minimum of three strategies that they intended on implementing to increase physical activity opportunities, which ideally would then increase the achieved levels of activity. Then to evaluate, where I came into the picture, we had activity and fitness data collected in the fall and the spring of both years of the project. Then also we conducted interviews during and after the project with involved schools to get an idea on actual implementation of the strategies that they said they were going to implement, and also at the end to look at going into the future, how best they could prognosticate what they're going to continue doing. I'm not going to go through all of these, but here the list of 17 strategies that schools could select from. As part of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction came up with an Active Schools Handbook. And in short, all these strategies were laid out, described, and given some instruction to the schools about how they might go about implementing these strategies. The design of the project, as I mentioned, we collected activity and fitness measurements in the fall and the spring of both years of the project. How we collected the data is we had two subsequent cohorts, cohort one and cohort two. Cohort one collected data in the 2010 and 11 school year. cohort two than in the 2011-2012 school year. And we told schools to select students or grade levels they could measure in both years. So what this meant is that if a school collected data from, say, sixth graders in the 2010 school year, they were instructed to collect data from sixth graders again the following school year. So, as I mentioned about the strategies, schools are required to select three strategies from the list of 17 in the Active Schools Handbook. And these strategies were really spread within a variety of parts of the day, one being within physical education class, another being outside of PE but still within the school day, and then finally outside of the school day. 13 of the strategies were ultimately selected by at least one school, and then for analysis we condensed it down to a list of 10 strategies. To measure physical activity, we used two methods, one being pedometer, so students wore a pedometer for collected step counts, a pretty basic step counter pedometer, so nothing too advanced, and then also an activity log in which students recorded the activities that they conducted, and then the time they spent doing the activity, and then also their perceived intensity. And from this, using MET levels and the compendium of physical activities, we looked to determine how many minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity the students accrued. These were collected simultaneously over a three-day period. Schools were told to select one weekend and two weekdays, so either a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The use of the two measurements, pedometers, they're valid, great ways to get a basic amount of physical activity, and they are objective. Activity logs, while they are subjective and very much prone to overreporting, they do allow us to get some idea of moderate to vigorous physical activity. For physical fitness, we focused on cardiovascular fitness. We did this as opposed to, say, muscular fitness or flexibility, primarily due to the correlation between cardiovascular fitness and insulin resistance. This association is independent of body mass index and works both in that poor cardiovascular fitness is correlated with high insulin resistance, but on the flip side, if you increase your cardiovascular fitness, you can reduce insulin resistance. And to do aerobic fitness, we use the PACER test, which involves students running in subsequent 20-meter sprints back and forth with a progressively shorter allotted amount of time to complete the 20 meters. Once they fail the test twice, the test is over, and then their number of laps are counted, which we then converted to VO2 max for analysis using the Leger equation. So the evaluation structure for the Active Schools project, we decided to go through a REAIM framework. So the REAIM framework, an acronym for Reach, Effectiveness, Adoption, Implementation, and Maintenance, allows us to evaluate a program in a way that goes simply just beyond, you know, the hard and fast numbers of activity and fitness, but really allows us to look at some of the more programmatic elements of the program. For the sake of time, today we'll be focusing on effectiveness, implementation, and maintenance. So for effectiveness, it's the degree to which the intervention had a positive outcome for our relevant outcomes. For the analytic design, now here's where the natural setting of things really comes into play. Ideally, fall 2010 would have been a pure baseline. The idea is that they submitted their data in October, and then shortly thereafter they implemented strategies. Well, you know, we found a number of schools, you know, it's not a bad thing if they want to, you know, are really eager to get things going, but some really started implementing the strategies early, so the baseline was not really, true pure baseline. But then fall 2011, ideally, would have been simply a continuation of strategies. We would like schools from day one to put them back into place. However, there's the busy start of the school year, which sometimes delays programs. But also in the state of Wisconsin, something that no one expected, in year one we had some turmoil due to some collective bargaining legislation in our state, which one of the impacts of that is there's a lot of turnover among state employees, including teachers. So, and it impacted probably about a third of our schools, where whoever was leading the program in year one was no longer there in year two. So from this, in the analysis, whether it was year one or year two, it didn't impact our fall to spring analysis. So I just then stacked the 2 years of data, which, you know, positive outcomes give us more power. So effectiveness for steps. So using hierarchical linear modeling methods, comparing fall to spring, we see that overall there's a pretty solid increase in steps taken. By gender, significant increase among both boys and girls. By school level, we see the increase was significant among elementary students, however not significant, at least at the 5% level, among middle and high school students. But at the bottom, here's probably the most important thing as far as establishing at least some degree of causality. For this structure, we don't have a true control group. Everybody did something. So the best we could do is look at a dose response effect. And so we split schools up into those who implemented four or more strategies successfully and those who implemented fewer. And what we found is that the schools who did more, we saw more of an increase or a more significant increase on the number of steps taken. Moderate vigorous physical activity, again, a significant increase. This is in minutes. The increase is only significant among girls, not among boys. Stratified by grade level, we did not see a significant increase. However, by dose, once again, we did see a significant increase among those schools who did more strategies. Then finally, for PACER, not as much wiggle room, partly because you see the sample size is pretty huge among aerobic fitness. So I should step back and say the activity measurement was done among three classrooms in each school, whereas fitness was everybody who did, you know, fitness gram or the PACER test, which typically is the entire school. So we have, you know, much larger sample size. So what we saw is that there was a strong within-year improvement in physical activity and aerobic fitness. The activity improvement both was, you know, positive as continuous variable, but also categorical. If we use the 60-minute threshold, we see that 65% achieved this in the fall and 70% in the spring. This, of course, can be confounded by the natural within-year development, particularly among aerobic fitness. With the PACER test, kids get taller and they change, but the test does not. However, the dose response effect, especially with what we saw with activity, helps at least somewhat reduce this concern, but not, of course, eliminate it. So then implementation, talking about more of the programmatic elements of things. So as I mentioned earlier, schools were told to select three strategies that they intended to implement during the project. However, of course, it's a natural setting. We can't make them do anything. So then we had to get, you know, a feel for if they selected the strategy, was it actually implemented? And so here's a table showing that. On the left-hand side is the strategy and the number of schools who said they were going to implement the strategy. And on the right are the percent who fully implemented them in year one. This is collected through interviews with the schools at the end of year one. See active physical education, which is a strategy in which over 50% of time in PE, students must be in moderate to vigorous physical activity. So that was highly implemented. A tracking campaign in which schools can come together and decide on some way to have a school-wide effort to measure physical activity. I know one school looked at steps taken and saw if they could walk from Wisconsin to Los Angeles, however they calculated that. But anyway, that was highly implemented. But on the bottom, intramurals and active classrooms were not as highly implemented. Active classrooms is a strategy where schools should take 2 10-minute breaks in classes other than PE for students to get up and move around. Sometimes they're called brain breaks. So what we found is that the strategies most likely to be fully implemented when they're selected tend to utilize the existing resources that the schools have on hand. Those that were least likely to be fully implemented required new resources, whether they are material or logistic, but also school, faculty, and staff time, considering they're all very much crunched for time as it is. So then maintenance. So maintenance refers to the degree to which the intervention has desired outcome for an extended period of time. Now, there was no active follow-up for the project. So once 2 years ended, that's it. So at the end of the project, we spoke with the schools and asked them, to the best of your knowledge, do you intend on continuing the strategy once everything is done? So same setup for this table, and we found is that active PE and PE teachers assigning homework requiring activity were very likely to be implemented, However, intramurals, inactive classrooms, and increasing PE minutes with a sample size of 2 were least likely to continue. So our findings, very similar to implementation, most likely to be maintained, utilize existing resources, least likely, require new resources. So our lessons learned, for activity and fitness, we had strong within ear improvements with a dose response effect, and then based on strategies, utilizing existing resources, appears to be the best way to go, going after the lowest hanging fruit. So the next steps would be, are there specific strategies or combinations that are most effective? This we had to categorize based on just number of strategies. Are there strategies that provide a residual effect? Basically, is there something schools can do that can impact activity without a reliance on the immediate student's school environment connection? And then finally, it would be great if we could do a deeper next level of evaluation on new minutes of physical activity. Basically, active recess, if you're a child who is perpetually active on recess anyway, putting something new on there doesn't really impact you at all. So, acknowledgments. Thank you, everybody who's involved.